And the Bible runs that it says, talking, of course, about yourself and myself. Says that we all like sheep, we've gone astray, you know, wandered, you know, like silly old sheep from the way, you know, of the truth, God's way. And of course the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel, God's Son, Jesus Christ, coming into the world, die for sinners and to rise again from the dead, in order that you might know the way back to God from sin's dark path, that you might know the way, the truth, and the life, the only Savior, through the free grace of God in Jesus Christ revealed in the gospel. Of course, when you consider that, you know, the Bible, in the very same chapter, tells us, that Jesus Christ tells us about how He suffered, how He died, and you can't help but ask the question, why should such a person as that, the only good man as ever there was in the world, loveliest man that ever there was, and only ever went about doing good, healing people, delivering them from evil, and of course ultimately all this, of course, to save and to bring us back to God. But you get a good man, one good man out to the whole human race. And what does the human race do to him? Take him and nail him to a cross. That should tell you something about our natures. Should tell you something about what you and I, we both need saving from. Our fallen, sinful, wicked, and evil natures. That we should take a good man. I mean, what evil was Jesus guilty of? I mean, his enemies, those who had him crucified, thought he was getting his just deserts. They thought they misunderstood, of course. They thought that he was being smitten by God because he had done wrong, because he was cursed of God. Well, of course, he was indeed smitten of God. There's no question about that. The question is asked time and again, who put Jesus on the cross? Was it the Romans? Was it the Jews? Who was it? Well, the answer is, of course, it was God. It was His Father. His Father's will that He should suffer so, that He should go to that cross and die, but not because He had done wrong, not because there was any fault in Him, not because He had sinned, not because He Himself was cursed of God, but because He was bearing the curse that was due to people like you and I, sinners like us, so that we might be saved, forgiven, and one day, of course, ultimately to go to heaven. But of course, he wasn't suffering for the reasons that his enemies thought he was suffering. It was because of the guilt of mankind, the entire human race, all of us guilty before God, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's indictment, the entire human race, in all its extent. Doesn't matter whether a man's religious or not, Christian or not. We all got this one common denominator that binds us all together. We're all from the race of Adam. We all sinned all come short of the standard that God has set for man, woman, made in the image of God. And so therefore we all bear the guilt of sin. Every single one of us, all stained and all guilty, you know, because of that, well, that original sin, the first one, first parents, Adam and Eve, they who brought the sin into the world, the Bible says. And of course, as a result of that, brought suffering and death to us all. Of course, Adam and Eve weren't made that way, your first parents. They were made righteous, made in the image of God, utterly perfect, without sin, without pain, suffering, without death. But then, of course, came the sin, the disobedience. And after that, of course, they got children just like themselves, sinful, corrupt, evil, wicked. And of course, so it goes on down through the generations, multiplying as time goes on, right to the end. Of course, sin, as the Bible says.
Bless you, brother.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you very much. Of course, you know what? Sin is of an organic nature. It's always developing. And of course, well, the Bible makes it clear to us that, you know, at the end, before Jesus comes again, the wickedness on the earth will be enormous. You think it's bad just now, but, well, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But of course, you see, we all, as a result of that original sin, we've all of us, every man, woman, and child, we've all of us got a sinful nature. We're all of us born with a sinful nature. And of course, well, that's why we do the things that are wrong. Even though we know them to be wrong, we still do them. It's like we can't help ourselves. It comes out of us, you know. You know, you try to break some of these sinful habits. You wonder to yourself sometimes, you know, why is it so hard? You know, I know the thing's wrong. I know the thing's harming me. It's destroying my health, my life, you know. Why don't I just stop doing it? You know, why is it so hard to break the power of these addictions? It's because you see inside of you, just like me, you got a sinful nature, and of course you got, a greater addiction, an addiction to sin, and you can't keep off of it. You know, you can't break the power of that either. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why he had to die, because we all, like sheep, you know, we gone astray, wandered our own pathway, away from God's way. That's why he calls you today, let the wicked forsake his way, and let him return to the Lord. He will abundantly pardon, he says, those who do. Turn around, you see, stop going your wandering ways, and turn back to God, to his pathway, because, well, we're all guilty, the whole of mankind, all tainted with that original sin, all got sinful natures, and so we all like sheep, all of us, not just some of us, we all of us like sheep have gone astray that is, from God's pathway. So there's the bottom line, you see, it's our natures, and those natures, of course, they have to be changed, and it's only the gospel, it's only the power of the gospel that can change a person, a body's nature. You know, that's something you're born with, you know. So, you can't change it readily, you know. You can't change it at will. The Bible says it's not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh. You know, it's of God. Man or woman needs to be born of God, you know, they need to be reborn, as Jesus puts it. says you must be born again in order to see, to understand the kingdom of God. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and we need to be brought back into God's pathway. But of course, because you got those sinful natures, you see, you're not readily brought back into God's pathway. Because one, well, you don't want to be. You don't want to be. You don't like God's way. You don't like God Himself. You know, we are born, you could say, God haters, and haters of God's way. You know, we don't like and we don't want God, and we don't like and we don't want God's way. So to get a body back into God's way, God's pathway, well, that takes some awesome, that takes some almighty power, believe me. It takes the power of God to do such. Can't do it yourself. Well, because you don't want to. You know, as the Bible says, you love your sin. You know, love your sin. You know, don't love God. And of course, love the darkness. And of course, it's the pathway of darkness that you're on. You're all like sheep have gone astray. Straight into the pathway of darkness. Into the pathway, the way of sin. The way of degeneracy. And of course, that's why, because of those natures that you got, stubborn, rebellious against God, that's the reason why, of course, you won't return to God, don't want to return to God. So unless God works a miracle in you, unless God, by His supernatural power, brings you back into His pathway, well, you'll continue to walk in the way of darkness, heading towards that precipice, eternal, everlasting separation from God for all eternity. So you see, it's only the gospel change of body's nature. It's only the gospel, it's only good news concerning Jesus Christ. Change a person, a man, a woman's nature, and give them a love for what they hate. See, the thing is, you hate what you should love. You hate God, you hate holiness, you hate His commandments when you should love them. And you love what you should hate. You love your sin, you love the darkness, you love the vomit, the uncleanness, you know. Like the dog returning to its vomit. That's what our nation's like today. A nation that was once rescued by the gospel. A nation that was once mightily blessed by God through the gospel for many, many years. But now, of course, strayed again as a nation, wandered from God's pathway again. And now, of course, apostate, darkened, sinful, running on empty. Just like the dog returned to its vomit, paganism, unbelief, apostasy. See, we all like sheep have gone astray. That's why we all need to hear the call of God. Let the wicked forsake his way and turn to God's way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Only one way to get right with God. That's through His Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered, who died on the cross, not for guilt of His, but for the guilt of mankind, the entire human race that's gone astray from God, every single man, woman of us. Then, of course, well, we are stained, and we are corrupt with actual sin as well. You know, it's bad enough that we got sinful natures, but out of those sinful natures come the actual sins, you know. The words, the thoughts, you know, and the deeds. Jesus, you know, He says that, you know, it's out of the heart, out of the mind, you know, it come evil thoughts. And those evil thoughts, of course, they turn into evil actions and evil words. It's what comes out of the nature. It's what comes out of the heart, you know. Unless you change the heart, you see, you make no change at all. You can change many things, you know. Try to change things, but, you know, unless you change the heart, unless you make the root good, the fruit will never be good, you know. How do you gauge whether a tree is good or not? Well, by the fruit that it bears. So how do you gauge whether a man or woman's good? Well, by the fruit that they bear. And of course, actual sins, well, we're all guilty of them. Some people, they claim to be good. They say because they're good people, you know, that God ought to accept them, that God ought to allow them into heaven. But of course, if you put that, you put that goodness to the test, you know, bring it to the yardstick of God's, the rule of God's word, you know. You ever try to freehand try to draw a straight line, then you put a ruler against it, you find out it's not so straight after all. Take your own life, take your own perceived goodness, and put the ruler of God's word against it, and you'll find not so straight at all, not so good after all. You ever told a lie? No liar shall ever get into heaven, says God. Ever lusted after the opposite sex? Jesus says you've already committed adultery in your heart. Nothing unclean will enter heaven, says God. Ever stolen anything, big or small? No thief shall ever enter heaven, says God. You know, so there goes your goodness. There goes your perceived goodness. You know, you bring it to the ruler of God's word, and you find that, well, just like God says, there's none good, not one. None who seeks after God, all gone out of the way and together become unprofitable. We're all like sheep, you see, we've gone astray, wandered from God's pathway. Your idea of goodness and God's idea of goodness, totally different. God's standard of goodness, of course, is perfection. And that perfection is what He requires of you and I. Well, you see, how can anyone possibly ever become perfect? Only in Jesus Christ. Only in God's Son. Only through His righteousness, His perfect righteousness, you see, is counted to the man or woman who puts their trust, who puts their faith in Him, in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Only ever be on the basis of God's goodness that a man or woman will ever get into heaven. Not because of any perceived goodness of yours or mine. Only God's. And God's goodness is shown in the sending of His Son, Jesus, into the world, in providing us a sacrifice for sin. His own Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who made peace by the blood of His cross, so that when you consciously and deliberately and willfully receive that peace in receiving Jesus Christ Himself, that you might be reconciled to God, that your alienation from God might be healed and you restored to God. But you see, we all like sheep have gone astray, wander to our own pathway. And that's why you need the gospel. That's why you need the good news. And I tell you, people, it is. It's good news. Better than you think. You know, you might not think so today, but I tell you, people, day's coming when people will be looking for it. Time when people will be wanting the Bible, and maybe perhaps in this nation won't be able to find it, won't be able to hear the preaching of the gospel. So like I say, it's good news. The gospel, only the gospel, it can bring you back to God's pathway. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, for he will abundantly, abundantly pardon. That's the gospel. That's God's love for you. He so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Morning. How are you? Good. I'm okay, yeah. I'm okay. Sorry? Mr. Fishfinger. Aye. You getting ready for Christmas? You do, right? Yeah, there you go.
He's going to America, he's going to Australia,
aye.
He's going to Scotland.
Right, okay. We're way up to Inverness for Christmas.
Are you?
Christmas and New Year, aye. Just me and my wife. Peace and quiet, no. We've got friends there though, aye.
Yes.
Aye. Looking forward to it. Yep. Well, I hope not. I'm hoping not.
You've had quite a good day today,
no? Aye, it's not bad. It's not bad at all, no. No takers yet, though.
You don't know?
No. Just keep on. Aye, that's right. No, that's right.
It's just the
rewards. Aye, that's it.
It's always nice to see you at Bethel. I'll
make a point of it next time.
Yes.
Give a love to Donald, eh?
I will. He's got a cold.
Has he? Oh dear.
He gets these terrible colds. They're usually called flu.
Right. Okay. Oh well.
So?
Yep. I'll be soon over it.
See, I don't think that. Oh yes, maybe that bus does go.
Serves you right. Yeah. So as I say, we all friends like sheep, you know, we've gone astray, alienated from God, separated from our best good, you know, because you know, God is our best good. It's good to be alienated from some people, you know, some evil. Some wicked people in this world today. Some people you're better not knowing. You better not being involved with, you know. You better being separated from, because they not do you no good. In fact, just do you harm. But of course, to be separated from God is to be separated from your best good, your very best good. The one who could do you the best good. One who could save you, the one who could bring you back to himself, heal the alienation, reconcile you to himself. That's why he sent the Son Jesus into the world, loved you so much that he was willing to do that, surrender, and give up his Son to the death of the cross so that you might be reconciled to God. He made his Son sin, who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him, by trusting, by believing in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, and you will be saved. So you see the sin, you know, it's sinful pathway that we've taken straight from God's pathway. It's that's right. Oh, so there you go, friends. It's the gospel that you need, you see, to bring you back onto God's pathway. Only the gospel can do that, you know. It's a fact. But you know, sin is a serious affront to God. You all need to know that, you know, there's a penalty attached to sin. You know, it's not just a case of them. You know, that, well, you've taken you away and, you know, God's left with his. And, well, what's the big deal? Big deal's this, that, you know, the wages of sin is death. And of course, the Bible makes it clear spiritual death has already come to you. You're already separated from God as a result of your iniquities. That's the first part of it. But then, of course, there's the physical death comes to all men because, well, as God says in His Word, it's appointed for man to die once. But then, of course, that's not the end. That's not the finish either. Some people say to me, well, when I'm dead, I'm dead. That's it. It's all over. And of course, many folk in this society of ours today, of course, they live under that great delusion that, you know, that when they cock the toes up, when they die, that's it. That's the finish of it. That's why I guess an awful lot of people are turning to this suicide, you know, this Dignitas. What a name. What a name to give to it. No dignity to it at all. Euthanasia. The word means good death. There's no such thing as a good death outside of Jesus Christ. Because to kill yourself, it's in breach of God's commandment. You shall not kill. It's a commandment. It's a breaking of God's commandment. Of course, that you can't repair. There's no way back from that. It's soul suicide. Not just physical death. You know, and more people seem to be coming to it today. You know, it's utter selfishness. No thought for their loved ones. No thought for their families, you know. They kill themselves, take their own lives. And of course, they find out the other side that that's not the end of it, because as God says in His Word, it's appointed for man to die once, and after this then comes the judgment. It's not the end of the story. It's not the end. In fact, the Bible makes it clear that you have a soul within you that will still be in existence in a million years' time, 10 million years' time. Your soul will still, eternal soul will still be in existence. Of course, the question is, where will it be in existence? In heaven with God and with His holy angels? Or in the lake of fire with the devil and his evil angels? That's the question. Only the gospel, only the goodness of God that can rescue you from such an end as that. The fires of hell. You know, it's said to be separated from God, alienated from God, is to be alienated from your very best good. The one who could restore you, the one who could save you, reconcile you to Himself, the one who could bring you back onto His pathway, the one who could work this miracle in you and give you life and hope and peace and a future, not just for this world, but for the world to come. God's your best good. You don't know it, I know. You're His enemy. You hate Him. And you hate His law. You hate His commandments. You know, you're not subject to them. You cannot be, because of your sinful natures. But of course, He can repair that by His supernatural power. Change your heart, change your nature, and give you a love for Him, a love for His commandments, a love for holiness. No man ever loved God. No man ever desired God. No man ever desired the things of God, the holiness of God, until, of course, they were born again, as Jesus puts it, born again of God's Spirit by the almighty power of God. It takes a miracle, you see, make a man or woman a Christian. It's not something you do yourself, can't do yourself. No sinner be reborn yourself, then you could be born the first time by yourself. You had no choice in that matter. You had nothing to do with it. You just are, you know, begotten of sinful parents. And of course, well, so with the new birth, you know, it's God's choosing, not yours. It's God's doing, not yours. Something God does, you know. You can't repent of your own sins. Might as well try and pull yourself up by your bootlaces as try and do that. You can't repent. It's a gift of God, repentance. Unless He gives it to you, you remain in your sin. You remain walking in the wrong pathway in darkness towards that eternal precipice. Now, people, unless God, by His free grace, gives you these things, you know, causes you to be reborn, you know, gives you the gift of repentance to turn from your sin. And of course, well, you can't believe by yourself either. You know, you were born in sin. You got a bias towards sin. Born in it. That's why you love it, you know. It's your nature. You know, it's just your natural born state and condition. You know, just like the old pig, you know, likes to wallow in the muck. So, you know, human nature likes to wallow in the mire of sin, like, you know. We can take you out in the sin for 5 minutes and hose you down, but let you go, you're back into the sin. You can't stop it. You can't repent. You can't believe the gospel by yourself. Faith is the gift of God, the Bible says. It's all the gift of God. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, Bible says, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here this afternoon. So you see, people, it's down to God. It's His call, not yours. Unless He calls you, unless He enlightens you, unless He gives you, unless He gifts you salvation, you'll remain as you are, straight from God. Your own pathway, your own wicked and evil thoughts continue on. And of course, just as you are born and just as you live, so you'll die and go to a lost eternity. But God sent His Son into the world that men and women such as you and I could be saved. So you see, there is hope, you know. There is hope. That's why God commands that the gospel should be proclaimed. The gospel should be preached amongst you. Everybody knows, says God, what to believe. Unless somebody goes and tells them, unless the preacher goes and tells them, can't be saved without the preacher. Through the preaching of the gospel, God says He's ordained to save precious souls such as yours. So you see, and then of course Jesus came. He came and He lived and He loved and He died and He rose again from the dead. So, you know, that presupposes, doesn't it, in some measure, that there's hope for you. I mean, that God should go to such lengths and that Jesus should bear that suffering and that He should die for the sins of the world. Surely that gives you an inclination that God has a desire for your soul, that you should be saved. And I guess that's why maybe, you know, He tells you to seek, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. You know, seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. So you see, all these words were written down indelibly. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall never pass away, Jesus says. It's written down indelibly in the Word of God. And God requires that be preached, declared to you, proclaimed, shouted from the rooftops, that you all might know that there is a way back to God from sin's dark pathway. That you might be reconciled to God, that you might come to a knowledge of Him. Sir? No? Okay. But then I say, people, you know, it's the difference between belief and unbelief. That's the problem, you know. Our nation today, it's the gross unbelief. This, you know, this lie out to the pit of hell. Some people, they call evolution a theory. I wouldn't give it such credibility as that. No, it's not a theory. Not even a good story. It's a lie out of the pit of hell. And of course, men and women use it in the same way that they use religion. You know, Islam, Roman Catholicism, Buddhism, JWism. You know, all the cults and sects that the world's filled with. They use them to suppress the true knowledge of God, you see. To suppress it in unrighteousness and wickedness. And of course, men and women use evolution in the same way. Darwin, Dawkins, they'll lay hold upon anybody, you know, that'll affirm their unbelief, you know. But the suppression of that truth, you see, you continue to do that. You continue to hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Well, then the end of that pathway is everlasting death, is everlasting destruction. Two ways I put before you, Jesus says, life and death, which will you choose? God says, choose life that you and your offspring might live. Not just you that's involved, you know. There's your family, there's your children, and your children's children. Kind of a future do you give them? Is your nation, I ask you, is your nation any better for its godless atheism? Jesus says, by their fruits you shall know them. Well, what's the fruit of your evolution? Nothing but despair and death. A continuous cycle of despair and death. That's all that evolution gives you. Abortion, euthanasia, and all the killing and slaughtering in between. Your godlessness. And it doesn't matter what kind of label you want to hang on it. You can hang a religious label on it. You can hang a secular label on it. You can hang a Darwinian label on it. It's all just godlessness. It's all just the same. But the end of that pathway, I tell you, is eternal, everlasting destruction. The gospel is about a person, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, not religion. Do you got that? It's about a person, and his name is Jesus, and he is the Son of God, and he is declared to be the Son of God by the power of his resurrection from the dead. And of course, the gospel tells you what he did. He died on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago. You say, well, plenty of men, thousands of men died that way 2,000 years ago. Sure they did. But only one was an appointed Savior. Only one was the Son of God. Only one was the spotless Lamb of God. Only one was dying because he didn't deserve to die, but others did. And who did he do it for? He did it for the ungodly, the Bible tells us. Those who in their nature and practice are contrary to God. You see, you're a man, you're not a piece of chemical fizz that came crawling out of some primordial sludge. You're not that at all. You're a man, you're a woman made in the image of God. But see, here's the problem. Here's the problem, you see, when you break God's commandments. You sin, yeah, that's involved. But more than that, you were made to reflect the image of God. So when you do the adultery thing, yeah, you're saying, as a man, a woman made in the image of God, what you're saying is, God's unfaithful, and he's not. He is utterly faithful. When you say, you know, when you do the lie, you're saying God's a liar, but he's not. He speaks and he only ever speaks the truth. You're reflecting a false image. You're reflecting or you're projecting the image of the devil on God. And for that, people, God will hold all of us to account. That's why you need forgiveness. That's why you need pardon. That's why you need Jesus. You need the gospel, not religion. If you're religious, get out of it. If you're a Darwinian or a Dawkinsian, then get out of it. Evolutionism, it's a lie out of the very pit of hell. Ask yourself some questions, yeah? You ever read one single paragraph in opposition to evolution? You ever read one paragraph? Ever read one book in opposition to evolution? For the most of you, probably no. You just accept it from ungodly parents. You just accept it from ungodly teachers. You just accept it from ungodly authors like Darwin, like Dawkins. You just accept it carte blanche. You never question it. You just swallow the lie and wander off down your own pathway to eternal destruction. You should question everything that's put before you. Everything. But then, of course, it doesn't take a lot of working out, really, does it? I mean, even your evolutionary teachers, even the most highfalutin of them, they acknowledge that it's a load of nonsense, evolution, but they like it. They like it. The truth be damned, they say, you know? They like it. Because it's a choice instrument that they've got and that they use, just as you do, to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God will not send anybody to hell for not believing in the God that they didn't know existed. But He will send you to hell for not believing in the God that you know exists. Because He says that you know He exists. And I'll take His word over yours any day of the week. He says He has made it plain to you. He has shown it to you. You even understand it. That God exists. You know that He is. And so your place, my dear friends, is not to be asking for proof. Prove to me that God exists. No, I won't. Give me evidence, you say, that God exists. No, you don't need proof. You don't need evidence. What you need is to raise the white flag and surrender, submitting yourself to the God whom you know exists and whom you know is well displeased with you. For the wrath of God is being revealed against your ungodliness and unrighteousness. You're suppressing of the truth in unrighteousness. And of course, so it doesn't take, it's not rocket science to see that God's not well pleased with your world today. Certainly a generation of His wrath. The world over, He's storming, smoking. Can't you see it? Seems like just one spark from hell and the whole world will be ablaze with war once again. You not think of your children? You not think of your grandchildren? You not think of the future that you're giving them with this godlessness? With this lie out of the pit of hell? Is that the inheritance that you're going to give to your children? Ungodliness? Is that the inheritance that you're going to pass on to your grandchildren? The same godlessness? The same despair and death? Is that what you're going to pass on to them? Is that all that you've got for them? Is that all the hope? Is that all the future you've got for them? Shame on you. Shame on you. Because you know better. But of course, unless God shows you favor, unless God smiles, unless God shows you His kindness, well, I guess you shall all perish. Jesus said, one time His disciples came to Him, a whole bunch of people had been destroyed because a tower fell down, And His disciples, they thought that, it was because they were more sinful than other men. Must have been wicked men that were thinking, you know. Just like some of you do, you know. Some event in the world happens, an earthquake, tsunami, you know, an act of terrorism, and people are killed, and you think to yourself, well, they must have been worse than me. Now, says Jesus, he says, except you repent, he says, you shall all likewise perish, because we're all sinners. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. None righteous, no, not one, says God. Not a single one, not a single person. So that's why you see, that's why you need Jesus, bring you back. The good shepherd, you know, bring the sheep back to the fold. So he came for, my sheep hear my voice, he says. And of course, in hearing his voice, they follow him. Of course, well, if you remain in your unbelief, then that's probably because you're not of his sheep, you know. You belong to your master, the devil. But of course, Jesus, he came, he loved and lived and died and rose again from the dead that you might be saved, that you might have eternal life. And hearing the gospel, and hearing his voice in the gospel, and hearing the call of God, bidding, doing his bidding, you know, obedience, repentance towards faith that leads to obedience, gospel obedience, doing the will of God. This is the will of God, says Jesus, that you believe on him whom he sent, as Jesus himself. That's the will of God, that you should believe in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, this is the condemnation, says God. It's not that I condemn you. It's not that Jesus condemns you. I didn't come to condemn, he says. He didn't need to, because you're already condemned. This is the condemnation. You know that he, the Son of God, has come into the world. But you loved the darkness. Wouldn't come to the light. Loved your sin. Won't come to the Son. Won't believe. Won't trust in him. That's the condemnation. And that's the condemnation that you're under. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And the wrath of God abides upon him. So you see, as long as you remain in your unbelief, you remain in your sin.
God bless you, Jim.
Thank you, sir. You remain in the darkness. You remain just as you are, just as you are born, just as you live. So shall you die, unless you come out from under that self-deception, unless you come out from under that suppression of the truth. Reject the lie, exchange it for the truth. Believe on God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's the pathway of wisdom. That's the pathway of goodness, of wholesomeness. God's goodness, God's wholesomeness, God's salvation through Jesus Christ, God's Son. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. We all like sheep have gone astray, wandered to our own pathway. God calls you back. Faith, trust, believe. The Lord Jesus Christ is the command. Promise that goes with it is you will be saved. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Sin's penalty, sin's power, mighty grip upon your heart and your life, saved from its power, saved, of course, from its presence that permeates your world, your own hearts and lives. Salvation, you see. Salvation, not destruction. Religion equals destruction. God's word, the gospel, equals salvation, deliverance from the wrath to come, the judgment of God upon all men because of their unbelief. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You'd like to have a copy of God's word. Check these things out for yourself. See that they're so. It's offered to you without charge, without cost or obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. You'd like to have a copy, you come and ask for one.